Yeah, I thought I should probably put out there a little bit about the Book of Elm series. It was my second book I wrote, and it was one of the first ones right beside True Journey of Faith that went on the Audible. It was about 5 years ago or so. Elm stands for either Moriarty or Monster, depending on your point of view. As a child, I was always fascinated by Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty and Dracula, the Universal monsters. I was just so amazed, even at an early age. I would stay home from trick or treating on Halloween because that's when they played all the really good horror movies. And my favorite was Frankenstein Monster, which was also one of the Hammer horror movies, which is still one of my favorite movie producers. I love the old Hammer horror movies, Dracula, with Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, all those guys. And so when I came up with the Book of Elm, I wanted to add Sherlock Holmes and Don Diego from Zorro and others into a world of supernatural beings. So the first set of Elm books, okay, it takes place around the 1920s. Sherlock Holmes is an old man. He's living out in the woods, retired, a life of solitude. His mind is just has been overactive for so many years. He just needs to get away from anything of distraction, and so he finds a nice, comfortable cabin, settles in, and plays his violin. And then one night, a stranger shows up at the door in the form of Van Helsing. Of course, everybody knows from Dracula. Well, Van Helsing has been hunting vampires ever since the death of Dracula, knowing that there's others out there, and this leads him to the doorstep of Sherlock Holmes. Now, the basis for the story is this: Elizabeth Bathory. She was a real historical person who seemed to get her jollies from killing young virgin women, draining their blood, and bathing in it in the hopes to keep herself youthful. So I took this idea, and I took Elizabeth Bathory, and she continues her quest for this. All right. So she has to recruit some help. And later I did a book of zero instead of it's Elm Book Zero because it tells about how she met Professor Moriarty, the Phantom of the Opera, and others, Arsene Lupin, the Gentleman Thief, and how she recruited these people into helping her cause. Now, she wants to stay young forever, so she goes about it by supernatural means first. And she figures if she could resurrect Dracula, the king of all vampires, and he could bite her, she would remain young forever. And so that was her ultimate goal. So then she had a backup plan. Should Dracula not be able to be resurrected, she goes and searches for the Frankenstein monster. And with the help of H.G. Wells' character, the Invisible Man, and Professor Moriarty, two brilliant minds who could possibly retrieve the monster from the Arctic and find a way to use science to achieve the same goal. So, of course, as you can imagine, things go a little awry. Dracula is resurrected. But and he does bite Bathory, but what she doesn't count on is the effect he has on her, because he is the main vampire. All vampires must submit to Dracula's will. And once he's resurrected, he unites the vampires and threatens Bathory, should she not become one of his minions. And then, of course, the Frankenstein monster is resurrected. And he goes undergoes some terrific changes. He's I don't want to give too much away, but he becomes more than the way he begins. And of course, along the way, there's other characters involved. There's a whole race of peace-loving gypsy werewolves. There's vampires, zombies, and then there's a mummy that gets resurrected in book two. And all these things unfold as the story continues. And that's the first three books. Then the next three deals with more of the scientific aspect. I take the island of Dr. Moreau is where it all kind of is centered. Moreau recruits these scientists that you've probably heard of in other, again, all these characters are in the public domain, which is why I can use them. A lot of H.P. Lovecraft characters, Randolph Carter, and a lot of the different scientists he uses. I don't want to give too much away. I like to keep a few surprises. During the Book of M, behind the scenes, in the next three volumes, it's revealed that the scientists were always there observing. And you're led to believe that Moreau is one of the masterminds behind a lot of it, which he's not. There's someone even bigger, which I'm not going to give away because it's a surprise as well. And then there's the next books, which are kind of standalone books. The first six, it's kind of like two trilogies back to back. And then my favorite character is Dr. Jekyll. He just kind of stood out from the rest of them. He starts out as a man hiding, trying to get rid of Hyde because Hyde has become more and more ingrained into Jekyll. And so the least little bit can trigger Hyde, and he could come out at any moment. So Jekyll's on the run trying to pretend that he's dead. From his book, you know, he was supposedly committed suicide. Well, in my book, that was just a ruse to get them out of England and out of Paris and moving across the world so that he could try to find a cure and hopefully get his life back. Of course, he encounters Dracula and some of the others. He ends up falling in love with Bathory, and of course that doesn't end well for him, and so on. So that's the next book, is actually the Book of Jekyll, and he's continuing his pursuit until the very end of the book. Well, I shouldn't say pursuit. He's continuing to hide. No pun intended. Well, maybe a little pun there. So he and Hyde actually become more ingrained and things, and then he gets involved with mobsters and just all sorts of things. And then the next book, actually that was pretty much intended to be the final chapter. I just wanted Hyde to have, or Jekyll to have his own story, his own standalone story, and I kind of set that up in the final three of the trilogy, the first trilogy. I tried to set up his own story, and so it carries over into the Book of Jekyll, or just simply titled Jekyll. Then there was the Lady Z, which was to end the series, and that Jekyll finds his way into that book as well. And now we're into the new series of books, and it's more modern because the first series takes place in the early 20s, mid-20s, late 20s. And then the Lady Z ends up becoming part of taking place in the 1970s. And now we got the new series that I'm working on, and one is being produced as I record this into audiobook format. And it takes place in the early 80s. And there's going to be some surprises there as well. And it's going to be a little bit more story of there's more to the story than originally was known, and you'll see some old characters from the past come back due to science and things. So it's been a fun ride with the Book of M because I love the whole supernatural thing. I did very few books that didn't have some element of supernatural because I just find it so interesting. Anyway, so that's kind of the whole Book of Elm saga and what it's about. Like I said, if there's any of your favorite literary characters from the past, I guarantee you at least one of them will turn up somewhere along the lines in these books. And of course, there's some creative characters like Sarah. She was a little peasant girl that begins in the first one, and she ends up with her own book in the second trilogy and becomes something much more than what she started out to be. And her lineage carries over into the new series. I just hope that you enjoy it. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at timsimpson2008@gmail. And just enjoy them. All of those books that I've just mentioned are on audible.com, or you can go to my website at Author Tim Simpson, My World, and it'll give you a breakdown of all the books in order and places to purchase them. I don't really do printed books any longer. Most everything's done on Audible. It's just more time consuming and expensive to publish printed books when nobody really buys them anymore. Audiobooks are so much easier, more convenient. So, and I love audiobooks. I listen to them all the time. In my own Audible library, I have 490 some books from all types of genres, from fiction to nonfiction to biography, autobiography. So, and I listen to them all the time. And so I just focus mainly on audiobooks. I think that's probably the way of the future when it comes to books, because it's easier to listen to a book in a car while you're driving, working out. When I go to the gym, I can pop a earbuds in and listen to a really, really good book, and it just passes the time like a movie. So anyway, I hope you enjoy these. Like I said, if there's any questions or comments or any character that you'd like to see pop up that's in the public domain, just let me know. Again, my email address is timsimpson2008@gmail.com. Thank you.